Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the early line. This is our number on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. We've got some NFL headlines to jump into, and a surprising one, I think, for a lot of people, and involving Colin Kaepernick, and that he's actually worked out for an NFL organization here. The Vegas Raiders take Colin Kaepernick in for a workout. We'll see if this turns into anything. But, Donnie, I'll let you start here. What's your reaction to this news around Colin Kaepernick?
It is interesting, and it's certainly a headline here, somebody that's looking to get back into the National Football League. Last time I believe we saw Colin Kaepernick was at the Michigan spring game where he was able to work out with Jim Harbaugh, I believe at halftime, and was throwing the football around. But the Oaklanders, I still like to call them Oakland, the Las Vegas Raiders, they've always had this history of being like a renegade-type program where going against the establishment, oh, you guys don't want to bring the guy in, we'll bring him in here, and we'll see if he can work out. That's what the Raiders do here, shaking up the environment. It doesn't hurt, right? It doesn't hurt. Let's just say the Vegas Raiders bring in Colin Kaepernick. Outside of the cameras and a lot more microphones in here, I doubt Colin Kaepernick's going to come in and be like, good, I just wanted to get this as another platform to speak out on initiatives that I want to work for. It seems like he does actually want to get back into the NFL. And what's the harm of a tryout? What's the worst thing that can happen? He actually plays well in the tryout. You know what I mean? So I don't have any issues with it whatsoever. And the Raiders can do whatever the Raiders want to do.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, just so people know, this is his first workout with an NFL team since he was, let's call it what it is, blackballed by the
official
NFL.
Workout.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Like this was, you know what I mean? I mean, so it is a big piece of news. Could Colin Kaepernick make this roster? Hard to say. We're not in there breaking down the film. We're not so sure. Here's what I will ask, though. Let's say he does well in the workout, Donnie, right? Because one of the things that people have tried to say, the reason why Colin Kaepernick has not been given the opportunity to get back in the NFL, Colin Kaepernick be a big-time distraction. Couldn't possibly have Colin Kaepernick around your organization. Do you think there's a world where the Vegas Raiders ultimately would say, you know what, this guy is an upgrade over Jared Stidham, which would probably be the case, but they go, you know what, we'd rather not. Thanks, but no thanks, Colin.
It makes some sense from the point of view, but also let's keep in mind, the NFL is a business. The Raiders won't bring in a Colin Kaepernick if it hurts their business, but you know what they will bring Colin Kaepernick in? If it actually helps their business and their bottom line. So that's also another thing to look at as well. I don't know much of an impact that he would have, because if you're out of the NFL for 6 years, I mean, that is a world of time. Last time we saw Colin Kaepernick, sure, didn't turn out all that well in San Francisco. But quite frankly, San Francisco at that time under Chip Kelly, they didn't have a great football team to begin with. But he was more of that, let's do a, you know, read option type offense. I'm going to run the football 10 to 15 times a game. That's no longer the case in the NFL. So he will have to adapt to that. And we'll see if he could do that with the Raiders.
What's no longer the case in the NFL?
What, running read option and wildcat all along? They don't do that much anymore.
Oh, being a running quarterback is no longer
exactly,
an option in the NFL?
Well, I mean, you're not running the 49ers for 189 yards in the playoffs. He's the central part of the offense. You got to throw the football in the NFL. Colin Kaepernick didn't throw the football all that well last time we saw him in the NFL.
See, this is the thing. People have... The league has gotten more athletic at the quarterback position. Like, the next guy who we intend to talk about in this segment, if we get there, is Lamar Jackson. So we think the issue with Colin is that his athleticism wouldn't apply to today's NFL?
Well, I mean, yeah, basically, because number one, he was a very good athlete 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, but at this time, How much of an athlete can you be out of the league 6 years? You're just going to go out there and run for 189 yards a game? That's not happening.
The radio audience is here. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, the early line, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159, talking about Colin Kaepernick and what he could bring to an organization there. Now, the thing is, if he goes with the Vegas Raiders, and this would be true of roughly maybe every organization, you wouldn't anticipate he becomes a starter. Even if he's unbelievable in the workouts, they have a franchise quarterback in Derek Carr in Vegas. So that wouldn't be the expectation there. And it's hard for me to say what Colin Kaepernick would ultimately bring. It has been 6 years, right? His last time out there was 2016. I do think people have been wildly unfair when we talk about who Colin Kaepernick is, though, as a football player. Like, I can't believe that, Donnie, he was 28. He was a fantastic athlete who had 16 touchdowns to 4 picks on a horrendous football team. And we're going to pretend that him not playing in the NFL was normal? Well, we know that
I'm
wasn't
not saying
normal.
It's normal.
We know that wasn't
I'm just
normal.
Thinking now. Like, forget about back then. I'm talking about now. Like, what can you do in the NFL for me now? That's what the focus is on. Because if we can go back, we would say, hey, give me Randall Cunningham in his prime. I mean, Cunningham's old. You're not going to bring him back to the NFL. Now, I know there's obviously a big age discrepancy between Randall Cunningham and Colin Kaepernick, but it's a completely different NFL. When you don't play a sport like the NFL for 6 years around coaches and getting up to speed, it's a completely different offensive mindset right now. And I'm not so sure that that skill set that Kaepernick has fits in today's NFL where he can be a successful quarterback at this age after how long he's been away.
I think if your point was, I don't know if the athleticism is still there. Nope, no pushback. The Philadelphia Eagles starting quarterback is Jalen Hurts. The Ravens are out there running Lamar Jackson. Heck, your favorite player in the NFL has a rushing prop listed every game at 50.5, and we ask ourselves if Josh Allen's rushing ability is the ultimate separator. Running is a very important part of the quarterback position in 2022. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we'll stick with the NFL a little bit. We'll see what happens with this Colin Kaepernick situation. I will say this. If he does get signed by the Raiders, he will automatically have the highest-selling jersey in the NFL. Am I wrong on that? Like, not that we're going to get off.
No, he would.
But am I wrong on that?
Yeah.
He would immediately have the highest-selling jersey in the NFL?
Yeah.
That'd be it.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out here. But let's talk a little bit about the Baltimore Ravens. What is increasingly becoming one of my favorite stories of all time. The Baltimore Ravens gladly sat, didn't pay Lamar. Lamar didn't ask to be paid, and they felt like they were winning the entire way. Eventually, you start to realize that Lamar is going to Kirk Cousins the whole thing and force them to pay him year over year over year, as long as he stays healthy, more money than everybody basically in the NFL. Well, Lamar, though, now has done something he's yet to do. Skip OTAs. First time any voluntary workouts Lamar Jackson didn't show up for. What do you think of it? I don't know. Rodgers isn't there. Kyler, obviously, different reasons. Maybe it's something, maybe it's nothing. So they asked John Harbaugh, hey, no Lamar, what's the deal? Very stern. I'll let Lamar speak for himself. Donnie, why don't you speak for everybody involved? What do we think's going on in Baltimore?
Yeah, this isn't good. And Lamar Jackson, who, again, one of the ultimate team guys in the NFL, did you ever hear anything coming out of the Baltimore locker room or even saw a press conference? Win, lose, or draw. Lamar Jackson's got that smile on his face, looks like he's having the time of his life, and loves to be a Baltimore Raven. So now we've seen, and right on cue, the day before the OTAs were going to begin for the Arizona Cardinals, Kyler Murray's like, yeah, good luck with that. I'm not showing up to this thing. And I made a comment that said, you know what? Lamar Jackson doesn't do that. He's always showed up to OTAs, even when he was in those franchise years and wasn't getting his extensions. Happy to be here, going to work hard. We're going to make it in the playoffs. Everything will work itself out fine. The very next day when OTAs start for the Baltimore Ravens, you know, didn't show up Lamar Jackson. So I said, wow, that's really interesting. But even more interesting was typically if there's something going on behind the scenes, head coach, front office, player, their agent, whoever, they keep it all behind the scenes here. Hey, Lamar's not here. Well, yeah, he's excused. He told me last week something came up with his family. He'll be out for this OTAs. We look to have him on the mandatory OTAs maybe coming up in another month, even if that wasn't the issue. But the fact of the matter is that Harbaugh took the microphone and they're like, hey, where's Lamar at? He's always here. Ask him. That goes off as, ooh, something is festering behind the scenes where it always seemed like everything will work itself out. Now one side saying like, yeah, it better start to work itself out sooner than later.
So I was joking with Donnie. I think this was on the radio side where I'm like, you told me that every single quarterback's at OTAs. What's going on here? Like Lamar, I'm like, were you just trying to take a shot at Kyler? You're like, no. Everybody else is there. And now it's a problem in Baltimore. And he told me about the Harbaugh comment. I'm like, oh, interesting. The thing though about the Lamar absence, that's really difficult to figure out, right? So the three quarterbacks, if I'm not mistaken, that we know haven't showed up are Rodgers, Lamar, and Kyler. Rodgers is easy. He does whatever he wants. He runs the organization, but doesn't know how to make the right requests. That's Aaron Rodgers. Kyler's not there because he's furious about the contract situation. I have no idea why Lamar's not there. All Lamar does is, no, I love where I am. We're great. Things are great here in Baltimore. I'm not worried about the contract thing one bit. Is he not there because he's just like, I'm good? Like, is he taking the Rodgers, I'm over it approach? Like, what? Is Lamar trying to stir the pot? Is he going to actually request a contract? Why is Lamar not there? Like, I can't figure, it's honestly as if Lamar was just like, who cares? I'm fine. I'm just not going to show up. No big deal.
It's one of those also where you're saying, like, who is monitoring this around the NFL? Are deals getting put in place? Are trades starting to get put together? Even if the Ravens don't want any trades, you know how this works out here. If you see a quarterback that's unhappy, hey, maybe we can go in for a couple. We just saw Deshaun Watson. He actually had to sit out a whole year. Now, is Lamar Jackson going to do that? Absolutely not. He isn't. But the fact that he didn't show up, that's sort of that first strike across the back. And you're right, Kevin. It's OTAs. These are voluntary. Mm-hmm. These aren't even the mandatory ones where you have to be there, you get fined, and this is legitimate practice you have to show up for. But quarterbacks are usually there to put that right foot forward. I'm the leader of this team. I'm going to run it through. Even if it's only rookies here or, you know, low-round draft picks, I'm going to make sure we set the tone for this season and for the franchise. So moving forward, I would like to see how this progresses out. But also, the same thing we talked about with Tyreek Hill, right? News breaks. Hey, Tyreek's not happy in Kansas City. 5 minutes later, he gone. And maybe you get a type of scenario where you have other teams, because quarterback is a premium like we've never seen in any other sport. And you're telling me right now where there's a sniff or an inclination that Lamar might not be happy and some other teams go, we got cap space. We got $300 million guaranteed ready to go. You want to force this issue? We got the check. Let's work out some compensation. Because there's a team up in Philadelphia that loves itself some quarterbacks here that they are looking at this scenario going, now hold on, we got ammunition, we got money, we got young quarterbacks, we got guys we can place on the move to try to get this done. It's fascinating. So the much as we talk about, Kevin, the NBA offseason, this is really one to watch along with Kyler Murray.
I the funny thing is I knew this was going to end up somehow with Jalen Hurts traded. Sometimes you do that, though, and I'm like, come on. He's not wrong, folks. He's not. Let the Lamar thing creep up. Harry Roseman be on the phone yesterday. Hold on, man. Hey, you guys like Hurts? I mean, what's the deal? Don't you guys love Bama kids or something? Come on now. Let's go out here and let's make a move. Let's find a marriage here. Because, and I don't think that's where we're going, but I don't think the Ravens until recently have realized the corner they have backed themselves into. Like, there is not a middle ground that which they're going to find with Lamar Jackson. Their option is to watch everything that played out with Cousins and he leaves, or you pay him top dollar. Those are the two avenues now. You let it go too far, and Lamar's comfortable Who knows? Like, maybe Lamar didn't need an agent. Maybe he and his mother really have this thing down pat here. They seem to be in complete control of the situation. And if you're Baltimore, like, I bet you the Ravens honestly have enough gusto to say we could figure it out post-Lamar Jackson. Probably, right? Like, especially if you consider, if there isn't, like, we're not going to talk about Carolina and Seattle only in a Lamar Jackson trade scenario, right? Like, there are teams who will pivot off of their current plans in order to make Lamar Jackson their quarterback. Like, there's no reason that Bill Belichick shouldn't pick up the phone and say, were you guys in agreement here? Mac Jones should have been rookie of the year despite the fact that he did nothing. Like, am I crazy? Like, if you're Bill Belichick, aren't you on the phone with the Baltimore Ravens to see if you can bring Lamar Jackson to Foxborough?
A lot of teams are going to be doing it. Also, take a look at the Baltimore Ravens and the corner that you say they backed themselves into. Let's just even roll back 1 year. Like, okay, we're eventually going to have to pay this guy. The simple fact of the matter is you look at the Kansas City deal for Patrick Mahomes. Now, sometimes those are one-offs. Like, look, nobody's going to make that much money. Patrick Mahomes is the most talented quarterback. Don't look at that as a starting point. But then you see Deshaun Watson getting all that guaranteed money. Because how many times in the past you say, all right, quarterback's going to get, and the same thing with Aaron Rodgers, what he got. All right, we'll give you a 6-year deal. It's for $300 million with $125 million guaranteed and a $50 million signing bonus. Lamar Jackson's now sitting back going, no. This is going to be a 5-year, $300 million deal. Every single penny is guaranteed no matter what happens. It's a completely different ballpark than just 24 months ago, 12 months ago, the way you look at quarterbacks. And Lamar Jackson knows he's in the power position where I can ask for whatever thing, anything I want, and it's going to be guaranteed. And the Ravens are like, oh, man, what did we do right now? Should have signed him 2 years ago, and you didn't.
Yeah, it's look, folks, you know, did anyone think Hollywood Brown was going to end up in Arizona? Like, that came from the
maybe
clouds.
That was the straw that broke the camel's back. Man.
Yeah, Lamar hasn't shown up because they traded Hollywood.
Man.
Like, yeah, I tell you what, Aaron Rodgers would be real confused if it came out that Lamar Jackson's angry that they're not giving him real wide receivers. Rodgers would be like, wait a minute, you can complain about that?
Why didn't you ask him to for Baltimore?
Yeah. What about Randall Cobb? He'd change your whole franchise around. Bring Jordy Nelson. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wow. All right, we're back here at Major League Baseball preview time. I thought we'd come out of the gates hot with Reds-Cubs. Standalone 12:30 East Coast baseball game. See you didn't make the sheet here. Hunter Green, no interest from you in Reds-Cubs today?
Look, the games that we preview are the ones where we see fit that we can get some dominating action in. Now, Hunter Green is a perfect. We can spin on every game here, Kevin. Hunter Green is that perfect target, right? 5x FIP above. Terrible. He is a very good strikeout pitcher, walks too many guys, and has a disastrous approach to right-handed batters, Kevin. 383 weighted on base percentage. And how about this? A 337 ISO power number to right-handed batters. That's unheard of here. And that's not through like 6 or 7 at-bats, Kevin. That's through 94 plate appearances by righties against Hunter Green. Here's the issue here. You're talking about let's get after with ISO power and right-handed batters. I'm going to give you the ISO power numbers here for the Chicago Cubs. Now, just there's 9 statistics that we'll use. Why? Because there's 9 batters. Kevin, you tell me how many ISO power numbers on this Cubs team are above a 175.
3 of them. Come on now. Bring it home, Chicago.
One. Bring it home, Chicago. So when we look at Hunter Green and we say to ourselves, boy, if this team just had a decent lineup in order, they would be tanking Hunter Green into the seats. I don't know if I can trust it. It's one of those, Kevin, where you look at this game and you just say, I'm fading the pitcher. That's all I'm going to do. Then you look at the lineup and be like, man, not much power in this lineup.
Man, but what if he's turning the corner? Have we considered that for Hunter Green? Starting to figure it out maybe a little bit there. Had that the no-hitter game, not bad. The last game, the next game against Toronto, who knows? All right, we'll go to the Yanks-Rays. Ooh, is this the first Yanks-Rays series of the year? Maybe the second Yanks-Rays series of this season? Either way, Nestor Cortez has the ball. AL Cy Young in my eyes, Donnie. One of my favorite comments of all time was Donnie going, I don't understand how he gets anybody out, referring to Nestor Cortez. And by the way, like, I'm not necessarily saying I disagree. The guys out there, like, I feel like he balks on every pitch because he's just trying to throw people off with his motion. But he's awesome. The stash is rocking, and it's good enough to get the Yankees as a road favorite down in Tampa, minus 125 range here, total 7.5. Yanks, Rays, what do you like?
Yeah, it's nice to have this series down in Florida in a real ballpark other than
– Yeah, I know. Real ballpark, sure.
I thought you'd like that one to start this one. If we're looking at unders here, this game probably plays out. But, Kevin, how many times have I told you about the New York Yankees? You take a look at that lineup, and even though we're not going to have Giancarlo Stanton in here, which is a shame because that would have added another bat, they have a very good top-heavy lineup. Mm-hmm. If we look at the ISO power numbers versus lefties here, the Yanks got it going on 1-4. DJ LeMahieu, 209. How about Aaron Judge, 326. Anthony Rizzo, 320. And how about Gleyber Torres now? A 410 ISO power number versus lefties. And then you fall right off the plank. 088, 0, 059, 083, and 091. That's Hicks, Andujar, Connor Falefa, Higashioka, and also Gonzalez. Those are always the issues that we have. But if you have guys like Aaron Judge and, like we said, Stanton, who went onto the IL doing damage by hitting home runs and driving guys in, sometimes you don't need the bottom half of that lineup. So if we flip it over and take a look at what Tampa Bay does well, it's not a lot. And you're right, Cortez has been very good this year. Look at just his weighted on base averages from lefties and righties. A 190 and a 244. ISO power numbers, both lows below a 150. He's really done well. And then if we try to line up the ISO power numbers here versus left-handed pitching for the Tampa Bay Rays, it's really bad. You got three guys above that threshold of 175, everybody else below. And even though I do knock, you know, ballparks in New York, I mean, come on, the worst ballpark. I'd rather have a tiny ballpark than a ridiculous ballpark that doesn't allow any home runs like the Trop does. So I'm leaning under, even though we have a high xFIP here for the Tampa Bay pitcher, a low xFIP for Cortez, some decent batters in the lineup. For me, I just don't think it matches up all that well. So if I'm looking at that 7.5, I'm probably leaning under today between the Yanks and the Rays.
Makes sense. One thing I'm waiting on is going to be a Ryan Yarbrough strikeout prop. I know typically you would think the Yanks, it's probably a ton of strikeouts in that lineup, this, that. They're actually not bad. 11th fewest strikeouts as a team on the year. Stanton out of the lineup, right? And Yarbrough actually so far this year, four starts, 2-4-2-4 from a strikeout perspective. If the numbers kind of still, you know, because sometimes I feel like they still maybe hang numbers that are reminiscent of last year's Yankees more so. That could be a number to play under, actually. We'll see, though. It all depends, of course, where they post that thing at. Next game on the docket here is Rockies Nationals. The Nats just shut out the L.A. Dodgers. Why do I have a feeling they won't be so lucky the next go-round here? A beautiful mwah. Pick'em game, minus 108, both directions here in Washington. Corbin's got the ball, totals at 8. What do you like?
Yeah, if we take a look here, totals at 8.5 here as we show up on the FanDuel Sportsbook. This is an interesting one because I do think it has the chance to get over where maybe both sides actually participate in offense, which is something the Nationals don't do quite that often. But let's take a look at Colorado and why this might make sense. Now, also you have to check, take a look at, you know, this is the statistics that I use in the morning. They can differentiate over the afternoon as some other outlets, per se, let's just say, come in with their updated numbers. Because always when you take a look at the Colorado Rockies offense, you do have to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt, which how good they appear at the plate, because they play half of their games in Colorado in that thin atmosphere. But if we take that out of the equation right now and just take a look, Patrick Corbin, xFIP number above 5. Not good here. Doesn't strike out enough guys, Kevin. Walks a little bit too many batters. But he is a lefty. He's been okay against left-handed batters ISO power-wise at an 0.51, but weighted on base percentage at 373 means they're getting on base. But take a look at this. He's a left-handed pitcher, talking about Corbin, going up against right-handed batters. He's faced 160 of them this year. A 351 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 200. Why is that important? You're going to get at least, it looks like, from the estimated lineup today for the Rockies, 8 out of the 9 batters to come from the right-hand side. And also, take a look at the first 5 batters in the lineup. Joe, Daza, Grichik, Crone, and Rogers. Look at these weighted on base percentages, Kevin, versus left-handed pitchers. 420, 422, 427, 420, and 408. McMahon, who has struggled in the sixth hole, at a 273, but you come right back with Iglesias at a 471. So this is one of those games that's early on my radar, quite frankly, looking more towards the Colorado Rockies than I am the Washington Nationals. But at the same time, if we flip it over, the Nationals never appear to be a good hitting team. But you're going up against Germán Márquez, an xFIP around 4.3, but also high weighted on base averages, Kevin, for lefty batters and righty batters, and also elevated numbers here as we take a look at ISO power. Now, also, take that with a grain of salt. Why? Germán Márquez pitches in the thin air of Colorado. He's not going to do that today. So as I get a little bit more numbers later in the day, by the time we get the money line, I might have those dissected where let's take out those thin air games and maybe look at a couple of these xFIP minus numbers to try to balance it out. But this game doesn't appear too bad, Kevin. Maybe headed for some runs.
Not bad there. I will say the Márquez strikeout prop, it's plus money right now, which is a key factor here, is interesting to me. The projections line up nicely, and so do the recent performances for Márquez. Last four starts, 5-7-6-7. The number's 4.5. He's over that, and that includes a performance against the Nationals where he was horrendous. 5 innings, 10 hits, 7 earned runs. Okay? Now, that game was in Colorado, though. If you go back to Washington, the strikeout pitch has been working for Márquez at 4.5. That might be a nice way to jump in with this game here. We go back to the NL East, or stay in the NL East, rather, with the Phillies and the Braves. It's a slight Atlanta line at minus 112. It's Aaron Nola who gets the ball for Philadelphia, and the total's an 8. Man, so you see the number dropping there from our kind of loaded up graphic. It was minus 120 on Atlanta. Some people betting Aaron Nola in the morning. What do you see here, Don, in between the Braves and the Phils?
This should be a pretty good one. If we take a look at this game, Nola, and also if we take a look at Wright, this game probably does play to an under. So if we're looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook and we see that 8 price here, it does make sense. Looking at two guys with low xFIP numbers, but the one thing that is interesting here with Aaron Nola, 3.21 xFIP number, Kevin, striking out 31% of the batters he's faced, low numbers on bases on balls. That's exactly what you want. Also, some of those statistics that we look at, 50% of the balls against Aaron Nola that are hit are on the ground, which means you're going to keep balls in the ballpark, because he can't leave the ballpark if they're hit on the ground and not in the air. Left-handed batters against Aaron Nola, he's dominated. But how about this? You know, one of those upper-level pitchers in Major League Baseball, 370 weighted on-base percentage and an ISO power number of 275 from right-handed bats. They can do some damage. You're going to get a lot of right-handed bats in the lineup tonight for Atlanta. But on the season itself, they haven't really factored or done all that well against right-handed pitching. Only two guys in this lineup above a 325 weighted on-base percentage for right-handed pitching for the Braves. And if we flip it over to the Philadelphia Phillies, it doesn't get all that much better. Wright's been decent this year, 3.50 xFIP number. How about these numbers, Kevin? To lefties, 249 weighted on base percentage, ISO power number of 114. Very good. To righties, 264 as a weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 044. And if we line this Philadelphia Phillies lineup today, only what, 2-3 guys actually show a plus number going up against right-handed pitching. So even though we are in Hotlanta hitters ballpark, and we've had some runs the past couple games between the Phillies and the Braves, this one to me trends a little bit more towards the under, maybe trusting the pedigree pitcher here with the Phillies and Aaron Nola. But having said that, Aaron Nola does one of his, hey, I pitched real good for 5 innings, leak a little bit of oil in the 6th inning. We're up 3-2 headed late. That's certainly not a Phillies line that you want to head into the later innings, because the Braves have a much better bullpen than the Philadelphia Phillies. So maybe if you're betting the Phillies today, Kevin, maybe a first 5 makes more sense here.
All right, certainly something to line up there. I'll also mention a Kyle Wright strikeout prop here. Now, you're 4.5, and you are at minus 140. To the over. I talked a little bit yesterday. I don't have really the time to get into it too much today about the kind of the process that I've been using on strikeout props here. But the crux of it is I'm trying to set my own number off of the information that I've been using and then see how it lines up. I would have expected the Kyle Wright number to be about 5.5, closer to minus 115, minus 110 range each way. So to get a 4.5 at minus 140 is not bad. Pair that then with this is a guy who's gone over 5 or more strikeouts in all but 2 of his starts. So that would be 6-2 to the over against Philadelphia. Could be a spot to back Kyle Wright. I think that'll be on the move. That 4.5 might not be around for too long. Keep it right here, though. The early line is back with more breakdowns on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Bath Warriors is up next. We want to give people one more baseball game just because this might have a little bit of juice, and a lot of the other games really did not. Diamondbacks, Dodgers, totals 9.5. You were telling me, for good reason, Dodgers off of being shut out, maybe a bounce back for their offense tonight.
Yeah, it could be a bounce back, and also maybe if we get that, you know, roof open out in Arizona, let some of that desert heat and humidity in, maybe this will work out in our favor. But also take a look at the two pitchers here. Some high xFIP numbers, 4.7 here for White. And also if we take a look at him, he's a right-handed pitcher struggling against righties with a weighted on-base percentage of 384. But both sides of the plate here, Kevin, above average ISO power numbers, 250 to lefties and 179 to righties. And why does that make sense? If we take a look at Arizona, not really known for their power or their might, but they actually check out decently here today versus right-handed pitching this season. If we look at the anticipated lineup tonight for the Diamondbacks, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, almost 6-plus batters in that lineup tonight. Now, when we flip it over to the Dodgers, it always looks good. Looks like Mookie Betts probably expected to be back into the lineup today as they start. And we take a look at Castellanos, the pitcher here for the Arizona Diamondbacks, an xFIP above 5. So maybe we're looking at, you're right, a bounce-back performance from the Dodgers, which usually means their average 5 to 6 runs, it seems like, but maybe a little bit sneaky here for the Arizona Diamondbacks going up against White. Also, keep in mind, Dodgers do have a pretty good bullpen here. You might even want to factor in and just say, you know what? Let me go pitcher versus pitcher, first five innings, and take a first five innings over. Okay. Maybe that would make a little bit more sense, but we might have some runs tonight. That 9.5 is appropriate here.
And to give you guys the idea, the first five total is 5.5, but it's plus 128 to the over. So they don't want to hang you a 5.
No,
it feels like they're saying, look, they're getting 5. They're getting 5, yeah, and you're free rolling at that rate there. So if you can get to the 5, that, of course, would jump off of the page. Just to add a little more of a perspective there, the Dodgers team total is a 5, minus 128 over. 3.5 for Arizona, also minus 128 to the over. Let's keep it out in California, Golden State and Dallas. The Warriors are a 7-point favorite. The total for this one is 215.5. So far during the conference finals, we have yet to see a team lose and cover. Golden State up against the Denver Nuggets went up 3-0, lost game 4 on the road, came back in game 5, closed it out, but did not cover. I got to tell you, DRS, I'm okay trying to play it out the same way here. I think Dallas actually might just win this basketball game. I really do. I feel better about having the 7 points. We've started to preach a little bit of forget who, the spread. Who do you like to win a basketball game and bet that team? And it's worked out, what feels like, for a good while now during the NBA postseason. It really has. But for me tonight, I think there's a close basketball game. I think Dallas has a legit chance to make this at least a 6-game series. How do you see it tonight? Any chance that Dallas isn't done just yet?
If we're betting, I'm trying to take a look here to find, oh, okay, there we go, first half. Because the reason I want to bring this up, if we take a look, first half spread tonight, Dallas Mavericks plus 4.5. If we take a look at the Golden State Warriors, obviously minus 4.5. A little bit juiced here to the Mavericks side at a minus 115. The reason I bring this up, because sometimes when you're breaking down NBA games, okay, man, this doesn't make any sense. How could this happen? I thought this game would go way over. It stays under. We've seen a lot of those anomalies here in the playoffs. But if I ask you this one question, Kevin, with this game tonight, if the Dallas Mavericks are down 8 points at the break, do we think they're coming back in the second half, charging hard and winning that game? For me, I don't think so. So if I'm taking a look and saying to myself, there's a really good chance, and we've seen it before at Golden State, hey, this game is really touch and go here in a closeout situation, fourth quarter. Talking about those Memphis Grizzlies, before they get closed out, man, they had a 1-point lead with about 5 to 6 minutes to go, and all of a sudden the afterburners were turned on for the Golden State Warriors. So I say to myself, if I think the Mavericks are going to cover this game and or win the game, Kevin, they either have to be hanging around at the half, meaning being up or down maybe a bucket, if not much more than that, as opposed to, yeah, I think they could be down 10 points at the break and storm in the second half and get a cover. I don't think that's the case. If I'm betting the Dallas Mavericks tonight, it would have to be in the first half.
All right. I think that does make sense there, ultimately. I do think this is a spot for Dallas. The thing is, they have been good in the first half, right? So, like, there's a world they're up by 6, and then by the time we get to the fourth quarter, they're down by 6, right? And what we just saw the other night with Miami and Boston, that third quarter can absolutely be your swing. Maybe that'll be the case here in this game tonight. I'll bring up quickly, just to give you an idea, Western Conference odds overall. We've been trying to see if there's any juice anywhere, kind of the, some oddities and some gaps. Right now, really, you know, the only thing that I think some people could be interested in is the series' highest made three-point for the series. Steph is at minus 135, and Luka is at plus 195. My initial reaction was a little bit surprised to see that there. So right now, Steph has made 16 threes in this series, and Luka has made 15 threes in this series. Shout out Reggie Bullock, who's also made 15 in this series. A one made three edge for Steph, plus back in Golden State. Let me give an example here. Steph tonight over 3.5 threes is minus 146. Better bet for you as somebody that's bet a ton of Steph Curry props. Steph most threes in the series, minus 135. Steph tonight over 3.5, minus 146.
That's a very good one you bring up, because what you're saying to yourself is here is if Steph Curry makes 4 3-point shots, you don't know if that guarantees him that actual series lead over Luka Doncic, because if this is one of those games where it's a closeout situation on both sides here, you're looking from a Luka saying, hey, he might throw the kitchen sink, Kevin, which means I'm going to launch 14 3-point shots and I might make 6 of those, or maybe Steph Curry goes, okay, I'm comfortable here, made 4 3-point shots, made 5 3-point shots, and see how that works out. I got to tell you, Steph Curry props at home for the most part in games that are non like crazy blowout situations where he doesn't play the fourth quarter. If you give me a Steph Curry prop, even with some juice that says I need to just make 4 or more 3-point shots, this seems like he's back to the old Steph Curry. And quite frankly, the old Steph Curry, meaning the last 6 to 7 years, where we saw this year in the NBA season after that hot start. Like, what's wrong with Steph? He's only making 2 a game. He's only making 3 a game. I think playoff Steph Curry, particularly at home playoff Steph Curry, is a very good bet where you can legitimately sit back tonight and say, Steph Curry to make 5 3-point shots. Yeah, makes about sense, and he's probably going to do it.
27.5 is the number on Steph tonight at plus 100 to the over. Makes sense, certainly, as you're saying here. Didn't get it in game one. It was a blowout, though. He only played 31 minutes, and he scored 21 points. Mm-hmm. If he had to play in the fourth, you would have thought so. 32 and then 31 in the next two games. And then kind of the reverse-engineered blowout. Only played 33, still got to 20, and wasn't as efficient. Let me throw out a pro-Steph bet tonight here and pair it, though, with his splash brother and Klay Thompson. I'm hoping this is boosted tonight. I think I'll be on it if it is. Donnie, how about this? Steph and Klay, 8 made threes combined, plus 130. Can we boost that up to 2-1 or a little bit better? I think that's a legit look. One of these guys gets you 5. One of them gets you 3. We know they both have the ability to hit 6. You'd absolutely trust the other to get you 2. And I don't have to pick which guy it is. Klay hasn't had a huge shooting 3-point performance yet in this series. Plus 130, love it to be boosted. I think that's a legitimate way to back the Splash Brothers out in the Bay.
No, it is. And if we take a look here at Klay Thompson, tell me, Kevin, the last time that the Golden State Warriors were at home in a closeout situation, what did Klay do? Oh, yeah, 8 of 14 from the three-point line. These guys, look, you're not going to cower away from these situations. And quite frankly, they didn't play all that well in game 4, but we sort of anticipated that Mavericks win. Now it sort of comes up on the other side, where now I'm expecting a blowout with the possibility for the Golden State Warriors. And if the Golden State Warriors are running hot, you know what that means, Kevin. Splash Brothers are absolutely getting off from three-point range. So I do like that. It's a fun one to bet where, quite frankly, one of those guys, as you said, can carry you. Because if I told you right now, is it wild to think Steph and or Klay Thompson can make 6 3-point shots in this game? You'd sit back and go, no. How many times do you say, oh, Steph's got 3 in the first quarter already. He's off to one of those epic nights. He's going to shoot 15 times from three-point range to see if he can run it up. It's one of those nights where I think can happen here. Now, as we like to say, the Mavericks do play some pretty good defense, but at the same time, sometimes some of these shots here from the logo, it doesn't matter how good your defense is, these guys can make them.
100%. So talk to me, Luka, 34.5 points. We do this every time here. We kind of go back and forth. 52.5 for a points, rebounds, and assists. Oh, gosh. I think over? But see, I'm going to contradict what we've been saying. I think over points, rebounds, and assists. I think maybe I get, I don't know, but then again, is he going to get any assists tonight in Dallas? Man, listen to all this conviction dripping out of my mouth as I break down this prop here. Yeah, it's completely left my body. I don't know. I don't feel good about it now. Maybe under assists at 8.5, minus 138. Do you pay that juice?
That would be always, that's always my approach here with Luka. Like, if you're trying, and again, he had a very good night the other night, didn't get his points prop, but ended up, I believe, getting his points, rebounds, and assists. If I'm looking at a closeout situation and you are the star player, sometimes you don't want to leave it into your other player's hands and say, if we go down and we lose this game, it's not going to be for me being indecisive and trying to get my teammates involved. It's going to be for me getting to the rack and scoring points, which, and then brings me up to the same thing. I look at the 34 and a half and I say to myself, do we think Luka can get 34 and a half points, which means 35 points to cash his ticket in on the road in the big situation? Yeah, he can. But when you really think about it here, you need 35 points to cash that ticket. Remember last game Luka played? Man, he was dominant. He was unbelievable. He didn't get his points prop here. So he's necessarily going to get 35 plus, which if you round it up, do you expect a 40-point performance by Luka? Has he done it? Yes. But my goodness, just the odds of foul trouble, injuries, a little bit off scoring, shooting night. You don't get the 35 points. There's so many things stacked in your favor for that under that I typically find myself leaning to the under when you have numbers that are that crazy high.
Ready for this year on Luka? Here's a little bit of quick research for the people. 14 games this postseason, 11-3 under 8.5 assists. Here's where you really turn that up. 8-0 to the under on the road. Fits the narrative, doesn't it? Fits the narrative. Yep. He has to be more aggressive as a scorer, and the other guys around him are less likely to make their shots. Bullock, Dorian Finney-Smith, Maxi Kleba, they're not as good on the road as when they're back in Dallas. It's a little expensive at minus 138, sure, and it just went to 7.5. Shout out to you. There's no way, there is no way that's a coincidence. A shout out to you, the people that just ran to the window and started slamming under 8.5 assists. Because now, Donnie, it's 7.5 and it's minus 150 under. I mean, they just took a swell of money from early line watchers and listeners going under the Luka Doncic prop.
Now, are they getting the advanced feed from us here at the FanDuel Sportsbook? Like, are we actually broadcasting like 5 minutes previous here, but we just don't know about it? It's pretty funny you bring that up because all the statistics make sense and also feeds into the notion that I talk about quite a bit. Your bench players and secondary options, Kevin, play way better at home typically than they do on the road. And those statistics that you just pointed forth there, that tells me that those secondary shooters really struggle on the road. And Luke is like, man, I got to do this all by myself again. Maybe he does tonight.
Now, if maybe that was not, though, a bunch of people betting it, but the FanDuel Sportsbook does have us turned on. And they're like, all right, these guys are on to us. Let's move it here. What should we ask for? Do we ask for anything other than the Stephen Clay boost? Is there anything that you need? Let's ask them quickly if they got us turned on in the room early morning.
You know what? Throw on that 15-point win again, right? Give me a plus 420 tonight for either team to win by 15 or more points. That might be doable tonight, people.
You know what I want? I dare you. First time all playoffs. Boost the 3x2. I'll be boosted.
Set it
I'll
up.
I'll be
set it up.
Early lines. Over next for live. Yeah, what? Yellow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day here for a Thursday right here on the Early Line, SiriusXM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wright siding, Kevin Walsh. You know what we do. We set the table from 7 to 9 a.m. before we pass it off to Ben Stevens and the morning after and the rest of the Sports Grid day. But last night, we watched NBA. Maybe some of you guys did. 93-80 final. Not exactly what we wanted to see. And quite frankly, did this set the NBA back 20 years? Listen up. I like offense. Do you like offense out there? Probably pretty much. Was last night that game that you were looking forward to? 93-80. 173 points. Like, this was the early 1990s in the NBA with the New York Knicks fouling up and down the court, slowing the game down, where the NBA is like, we can't have this. So when you take a look at an NBA game in the playoffs, now look, we knew that the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat, both of these teams are extremely good on defense. And also, quite frankly, these teams have played a lot of games in their NBA season throughout the regular season and heading into the playoffs. So the war of attrition sometimes does settle in, including injuries, with both of these teams are struggling with that. But having said, if you're an NBA player, no time at any thoughts for me. If I'm at home and I'm a Miami Heat player, are we going to shoot 7 of 45 from the field from three-point range, good for 16 points? Now, having said that, we always like to bring the gambling audience into this, because if you did bet the Boston Celtics -1.5, -2.5, -3.5 at game time, that might have been the prettiest basketball game you ever watched. Why? Because you didn't sweat it out in the second half with an easy double-digit victory. But just for the good of the game, we can't have this in game 6. And I know we're going back to Boston, and maybe the Celtics are going to close this situation out. But my goodness, looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and I'm seeing a total listed at 200? What year is this right now? Yep. Looks like they did set the NBA back 20 years here. Guys, stay tuned for Ben Stevens and the Morning After coming up right here on the Sports Grid Network.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money.